Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. March was a busy month for the Northumberland Land Trust. Two recent acquisitions were announced as the group continues to preserve significant land and habitat in the county. In this interview, you will learn about these two properties. One is a 57-acre site near Roseneath, and the other is a 70-acre site near Centerton. Amanda Newell, Executive Director for the Land Trust, will explain their ecological significance. She will also talk about the pressures to develop land versus preserving it. This is especially important as the proposed Wesleyville Nuclear Power Plant and the proposed high-speed rail are under consideration in Northumberland. I'm so pleased to have with me today Amanda Newell, Executive Director for the Northumberland Land Trust. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. I love to talk about nature in Northumberland.
The Northumberland Land Trust has had a busy month, adding two more properties to its inventory. The first is more than 57 acres of land near Roseneath, and the other is 70 acres near Centerton. Both are in Alnwick-Haldimand Township. Now, before we talk about the properties, what is Northumberland Land Trust?
Northumberland Land Trust is a nonprofit organization that is not related to government in any way. We are a nonprofit organization that was started by volunteers, citizens of Northumberland County. Our roots go back to 1996 with Lone Pine Land Trust, which was it was the beginning of protection for the first property, which was Lone Pine Marsh. In the early 2000s, the organization known as Northumberland Land Trust was formed by the group Willow Beach Field Naturalists. And then in the early 2020s, the two organizations merged to form what we call Northumberland Land Trust, which protects land across the county today, with over 19 reserves and two more coming.
How do people donate property?
Basically, what it comes down to is that we have landowners in Northumberland County who are so passionate and love their land so much that they want to ensure that this land is protected forever. So we are contacted by landowners and they ask about what the options are. And we walk them through the process of donation. And there are some costs involved, which are things like surveys, legal fees, sometimes the cost of severances if there's a home involved. And the owners are able to benefit from a CRA program known as EcoGifts, which is basically a tax incentive to support landowners in the donation process.
And CRA stands for?
Canadian Revenue Agency.
Thank you. So let's start with the Roseneath property. What can you tell us about this donation?
This is a really beautiful donation. They all are, but I think something that has touched me, I've been Northumberland Land Trust Executive Director for 9 months, and this is the first property that I've been involved with from the very beginning. And so I actually got to go out and meet with the landowner at his kitchen table with coffee and the puzzle on the table, chatting about what's going to happen with his land. And so I got to hear firsthand from him what his goals are. And basically, when it comes to John Apostolides, he's a gardener, he's a naturalist, he's an outdoorsman, and he has spent more hours on his land than most people. And he very much loves this land, and he's excited to be in a position where he can make what he feels is a real difference in protecting nature in Northumberland into the future. And that's what he's doing. So I really appreciate that John is, this is a very important move for him. And his land itself, I mean, it's the quintessential Northumberland landscape. It's hayfields, meadows, a pond, some wetland, and some forest. And it's got a beautiful view of Rice Lake at its high point. It's rolling hills, and it's a special place. And it's got a special place in my heart because I grew up in the Roseneath area. So this is the landscape I know and love.
I'd like to unpack more of that in just a moment, but before we do that, when did he buy the property?
Okay, so John bought the property in 2006.
What is significant about the property that makes it worth saving?
Well, first of all, most lands are worth saving. Land trusts have moved away somewhat from only protecting highly significant lands when it comes to ecology. So we are now looking at lands that have restoration, ecological restoration potential as worth saving as well. So this happens to be a piece of land that has beautiful wetlands that provides habitat for amphibians and reptiles. Spring peepers is the little frog we hear singing very early in the spring in this area. This is great habitat for spring peepers. There are snapping turtles in the area, grassland birds. So a lot of species at risk, that species that are feeling the pressure of development will find homes here.
I understand that the forest part of this property was regenerated. What does regenerated mean?
Regenerating means that the forest was... It generally means that the forest was actively logged and sometimes heavily logged. And sometimes it can even mean that the forest was cleared when settlers came to the area to start farms. And so regenerating means that the forest has regrown. And so in this case, that has happened with a lot of help from John Apostolides. He's done a lot of tree planting and a lot of nurturing of those trees that he's planted.
When most people think about preserving land then, we often think about it in terms of saving or preserving what has always been at that location. It's almost thinking about it in a sort of its historical significance. Why is keeping one that's been preserved as a regenerated forest a good thing then?
It is a good thing because so much of our land has been impacted in Southern Ontario. That if we only focused on land that was in a state of, in a stable state and relatively untouched or unimpacted in a negative way by humans, we would have very little to protect.
When they regenerate the forest,
mm-hmm.
How is it then regenerated? In other words, is it native species or is it different species? It's just someone goes in and says, okay, I went down to the garden center and picked up a whole bunch of trees and put them in the ground.
Right.
How does that regeneration take place?
These are very good questions. And there's a lot of ways to define regeneration. So there are a lot of ways to achieve forest, what I would call restoration. So we are trying to restore or recreate, or support the regeneration of ecosystems that offer resilient landscapes in the face of climate change and that offer habitat for the diverse range of species that exist in this area. So there are arguments to be made that there is not a simple baseline to work toward. So when we're talking about regenerating a forest, what are we regenerating to? Are we regenerating to pre-settler times? There were still humans living here. There were humans living here for many, many generations that did have impact on the forest. Are we regenerating for an ecosystem that can face what the climate that this landscape is going to be dealing with in 20 years? That's probably a good idea. So we need to be looking at planting native species that support biodiversity. Those are the important factors.
Some of the land is hayfield. Why is preserving this vital?
Because we have grassland birds in this area that use hayfield as their nesting habitat. And because we have so little original grassland habitat left in the area, we need hayfields to fulfill that role. We do have tall grass habitat, which is original grassland habitat in this area, but there's only something like, less than 1% of the original remaining habitat. So hayfields fill that role.
Will it be an active hayfield? In other words, will it be harvested or will it just grow naturally and regenerate naturally?
For now, it'll remain harvested. We support the agricultural community. We want agriculture and conservation to work hand in hand. It's something important in this area. Agriculture and conservation do not need to be looked at as separate things. So we want the farmer to be able to maintain use of these fields. We will look at delayed harvesting so that the nesting birds have time to fledge the nests, so that the nests are successful before any harvesting happens.
You mentioned very quickly a number of species at risk. Could you go over those again and tell us why they're significant to our area?
Sure. So for grassland bird species at risk, we're looking at eastern meadowlark, bobolink. We have eastern wood peewee, wood thrush. We've got snapping turtle, eastern milk snake. We have species that are going to be able to thrive here that are feeling the development pressure of the area.
There's also a wetland. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. There's a small section of wetland that's part of a cedar swamp, which will be great habitat for amphibians, including salamanders and frogs. And then there's a little spring-fed pond that will have it'll be home for small turtles, bullfrogs, green frogs. It will be it's a stopover area for ducks migrating. Great blue herons can find their breakfast there. It's beautiful landscape.
There was another property donated earlier in March called the Ray Blackwell Nature Reserve. Can you tell us about it?
That's right. So first of all, I would just like to clarify that these are two properties that we have entered into agreements with for the donation process. So you'll hear more about the final donation in a few months. But the Ray Blackwell property is about 70 acres near Centerton. We're really excited about this property. It's going to be open for public use. There's a very well-established trail system through a small meadow habitat, but mostly forest. The current owner has established fantastic trails that the public will be able to park and visit at their leisure. Another reason this property is exciting is because it's quite close to some of our other properties. So NLT has a nature reserve called the DeClear Reserve, which is about 2 kilometers away. There are also Ontario Parks has Peter's Woods, which is very close. The Northumberland County Forest is nearby, as well as some Nature Conservancy of Canada lands. And the reason this is important is because as an organization that's working toward conservation of Northumberland, we are always looking at connectivity. It's very important that we have protected areas that allow for movement of species between them. And so when we start getting these clusters of protected areas, we're offering really important habitat features for wildlife.
I'd like to talk about that a little bit more in a second.
Sure.
But before we go on, who are SR Slobodian and Graham Harris?
Well, Graham Harris happens to be our vice chair of our board. He's a very active board member who has done great things for Northumberland Land Trust, this donation being his latest wonderful thing, and his partner SR. So they bought the property in 1996, as an escape from Toronto. So they spend some of their week in Toronto and much of their week out on their in their country property. And they actually lived in a little cabin on the property while they were building their house. So it's a little winterized cabin, and that's going to be part of this donation process. So Northumberland Land Trust is going to be using this cabin. We already do use this cabin as a little storage facility. Sometimes we have short meetings there. So we have that facility coming.
You mentioned already this location being of particular interest because it's so close to other nature reserves and other naturally preserved areas. Can you explain, giving some examples of how this network of preserved lands works to enhance the ecology of the area? In particular, talk a bit about fragmentation and also the seasonal travel. And if you could give us some examples, that would be good.
You can imagine what Northumberland might have looked like, say, 200 years ago. It would have been mostly forest with some grassland and woodland habitat. It would have been, there would have been very little blockage in the way wildlife and water moved through the landscape. And so when the land was settled by Europeans, the landscape was fragmented through agricultural activities mostly. And so now we have these fields, which are, you know, our agriculture is a very important part of Northumberland, and it's part of the landscape, and it's important. And we definitely, we know that agriculture is here to stay. We need to feed our people. But we also know that there are practices that can be done to make agricultural landscapes offer more connectivity. So an example of that would be wide hedgerows. So the areas that are more naturalized between fields where you have trees and shrubs growing, you've got birds nesting there, you can have big wildlife move through these hedgerows, bears, deer, foxes, porcupines, even smaller wildlife such as rodents, salamanders require these highways, these nature highways. And so we need these because if there are a variety of reasons we need these, and one of them is that if we have what we call islands of green, so say a woodlot that's not connected to any other woodlot, then there's no way for there to be a passage of genetics between the wildlife in that woodlot that can't get elsewhere. And so then you have less healthy wildlife populations. You also cut off the ability for species to migrate to breeding areas. So for example, salamanders require wetlands, ephemeral ponds, basically spring ponds that dry up in the summer. If they can't get to their pond, they can't lay their eggs and have successful offspring. So we need a matrix within the landscape where forests are connected and wildlife can move freely.
Another one of the big features of this property is that it sits at the headwaters of Shelter Valley Creek. Can you explain how that's significant in particular in relationship to migrating steelhead trout?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So a lot of our fish species require extensive cold water stream systems to live out their life cycle. And steelhead trout is one of them. And so often at a certain stage in the life cycle, the fish will swim way upstream, way into these little rivulets that you can't even imagine fish living in. And they'll go through their life cycle. They'll lay eggs, and then the offspring will move downstream when they're old enough. And so we require protection of these lands because if we don't have them, we're essentially cutting off that stage of the life cycle. And obviously a species can't survive without every stage of their life cycle being provided for. So the Oak Ridges Moraine is this incredible feature that is a great groundwater reservoir and has a lot of headwaters of streams because the water eventually comes out of the moraine and turns into freshwater streams that eventually make their way to Lake Ontario. So this is the beginning of one of those systems.
What are the costs associated with donating land and preserving it approximately?
It really depends on the individual donation, but the average cost is something like $40,000 for a typical piece of land.
And for the Northumberland Land Trust to operate, what's its annual budget?
Our budget for 2025, our total expenses were over $500,000.
There continues to be an immense pressure on land development in Northumberland County. Why is it important to have a land trust in the face of these pressures?
Land trusts offer a really cool model for protecting land. So we are backed by regulations that allow us to offer protections that will last in perpetuity. The only thing that threatens our protections is expropriation. So we are not legally able to remove protections from our lands. And so it's a different system than government, for example. We've seen examples of government removing protections from lands. So as important as the government's role in land protection is, the land trust model is this community coming together of protecting land that will truly last. We are not at the whim of government rotations. We are bound to protect this land in perpetuity. And the other interesting thing about land trusts is that, from my experience, they all start as grassroots organizations. They start by people sitting around a kitchen table, talking about a piece of land that they love that's under some sort of threat. They get together, they fundraise, and they protect the land. They start with one piece of land and then it moves to another and to another because they've learned the system of protection. So we have these models where we have an organization that knows how to work through the process. We have donors who want to protect their land. We have volunteers who are willing to give their time to the process as well as the stewardship and the care of these lands. And then we have people in the community who really want to see Northumberland protected. They care about nature. They care about the beautiful landscape. They don't necessarily have land of their own to protect, but they're willing and able to financially support the process. So all of these pieces come together to create a land trust.
The pressures, though, on development continue to grow. We've heard about the possible creation of a nuclear generating station in Wesleyville, bringing some 12,000 jobs to the area. Is this something the land trust worries about?
Absolutely. It's what propels land trusts. We understand that infrastructure is necessary. Housing is necessary. We understand that development is going to happen, but our role is to protect the lands as they exist while we can, while they're available. And we look at these development processes and hope that they happen in a smart, sustainable way. We hope that public is consulted in a meaningful, honest way. And we hope that the projects happen in a way that preserves as much nature as possible. And we're ready to step in where there are lands to take care of during or after these processes.
The nuclear generating station had a public consultation process recently. Have you submitted anything to the impact assessment process?
We, in partnership with Willow Beach Field Naturalists, who started Northumberland Land Trust, we are involved in what's called the Joint Working Group, and we have provided information through interviews, through the impact assessment process. And what we have communicated is that we know the lands that may be affected. Northumberland Land Trust and Willow Beach Field Naturalists have been involved in caring for some of these lands for many years, decades. Willow Beach Field Naturalists especially and NLT have a close working group with Ontario Power Generation, and they have worked well with us to allow us access to the land to study the habitats and the wildlife. And so there's this intimate knowledge of the landscape there and the important habitats. And so we had a few things to say about hoping that things are about encouraging the preservation of what exists there.
There's also a proposal to create a high-speed rail corridor through the northeast section of Northumberland County, potentially going through sections of Trent Hills. Is this of concern to the Land Trust?
It is. It is a concern because we actually have two properties that are in that corridor, that southern corridor that goes through that corner. So if the southern option is chosen, there are two properties that could potentially be affected. We have provided the feedback that we can through the online process. We've gone to public meetings and have had conversations, and we're waiting to hear from Aalto representatives to give more feedback and provide our concerns about our issues specifically. We also have an umbrella organization that's called the Ontario Land Trust Alliance. So the affected land trusts, which are beyond Northumberland, there are many land trusts that will be affected by Aalto. We are working with our alliance to figure out how this process can affect us in the least negative way.
Are there any other lands in the pipeline to be donated?
Oh, yes. Yes, we have three property visits in the works in the next few weeks, above and beyond the two that we have these new MOUs for.
So what's next for the Land Trust then?
What's next for the Land Trust is fundraising. We're always looking for funds because we are living in a government climate where there are less public grants available to do this work. And so in order for us to be able to act on all of the opportunities that come our way, we need to be able to, we can't depend fully on government grants. So we do active fundraising, as I'm sure many of your listeners have heard about and probably participated in. Our next fundraising event is actually our birding marathon. It takes place in May, and it's a really fun event where there are birders assigned to each of our nature reserves, and they go out in a 24-hour period and record as many bird species as possible. And we do live social media updates on what's going on. And then over weeks, we put together the big picture of the bird species that were found and share that with our audience. And we have a lot of people who donate to that because they're birders themselves, or they love someone who is or was a birder. And they just, you know, they love supporting this work.
Amanda Newell, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you so much, Rob. It was nice to chat with you.
That was Amanda Newell, Executive Director for the Northumberland Land Trust. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.